This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. New York City Mayor Eric Adams most recently commenting on his budget for the coming fiscal year. One thing we cannot ever compromise on, that's safety. I said it over and over. Public safety is the prerequisite for our prosperity. That's our economic stimulus. If we are unsafe, we will not be able to survive as a city. I welcome Harry Siegel, a columnist at the New York Daily News, as well as a senior editor of The City, a journal, to identify what it is that the mayor is pointing to when he says prerequisite for our prosperity. What is going wrong that the mayor presents a budget that ring fences the NYPD, is then criticized for not taking the NYPD down as much as he's taking all the non-uniform services down in the city a peg or two. Harry, a good evening to you. Your most recent column, I believe, spoke exactly to the background to the mayor's remarks. The mayor was elected, as I followed your reporting all last year, the mayor was elected on the issue of we must be safe, security. He's a former NYPD captain. He's now being criticized for being true to his word. What does this mean for the late campaign and for the Democratic Party now faced with years of explaining why the city is not as safe as it was before? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So the city is facing a projected budget shortfall of nearly $3 billion in the coming fiscal year. So to respond to that, Mayor Adams is cutting by half the number of vacant civilian positions, so excluding the NYPD and the fire department, that are going to, as well as teachers, that are going to be filled. And that means about 5,000 or 4,700 fewer. This is happening as he's already ordered all agencies to cut spending in this fiscal year, which pretty much all of them have done, except the NYPD, which has spent way over its allocated overtime budget, as Mayor Adams, with Kathy Hochul, and in the course of this election, keeps announcing there's going to be more police on the trains, and is not really doing it as a matter of long-term policy or with budget planning. It's just what we're going to pay for this now and figure out what that means later. All this is happening as the city is still struggling to fully recover from the pandemic. Office occupancy is something like half of what it was and may never fully recover, as people have seen the ways in which employers too. People can work over Zoom, don't need to be in offices 5 days in a week, don't necessarily need to even be in New York City. And aligned with all that, you have lots of people who become scared about taking the trains. There's been more crime there because there's been considerably more coverage of the crime that's there for whatever set of reasons. And the fear is that there's some sort of decline spiral in which people don't come back and discover they don't have to come back. And the glue or the magnetism of New York with its density, with its offices, but doesn't disappear, but is diminished. The revenue that's coming in is less, and really difficult choices then potentially loom ahead for the city, for the MTA, the train system, which the governor actually controls. And so Adams is saying, as a first stop to everything, even as we need to cut spending, we absolutely can't cut from this massive police budget because we have to show that we are making a safer New York. That was his fundamental campaign promise. It's what polls show is New Yorkers' top concern. And it's just much harder to get back into any sort of virtuous cycle if people are nervous about going out, taking the trains, and the rest of it.
Big picture, Harry, if I understand correctly, there were surprises in the national election in New York State. Congressional districts were either held or flipped for the Republicans, who have a very narrow margin for majority in the House of Representatives, landslide Kevin McCarthy. The one that you've written of several times is Sean Patrick Maloney, the head of the DCCC, who was defeated in his reelection bid. And this was a consequence, if I understand correctly, of the party deciding not to emphasize safety and security. This was made by the governor's campaign, despite the fact that Mr. Zeldin, the challenger, in a state where the Republicans are outnumbered 2-1 for registration, Mr. Zeldin, fighting a Don Quixote campaign, kept saying, security, security, security. The governor followed what you described as a Rose Garden strategy and did not respond to it in any substantive fashion. So, was Sean Patrick Maloney defeated? Was the Republican Party successful nationally because of the few seats that it took out of a dominantly Democratic New York? And all of this happened because the Democratic Party has not listened to the mayor? Is that too much to say, Harry?
That's probably too much to say. So, long story very short, the Democrats who controlled the legislature drew up their own maps that were extremely generous to them. State judges at the state's highest court, the Court of Appeals, then struck down those maps and appointed a special master. The result is we had, in a very healthy way, much more competitive districts that were not there to protect incumbents, but to make New Yorkers' votes valuable. Florida and other states where legislatures drew equally gerrymandered maps to benefit Republican incumbents took a different approach. So that's one big thing that happened. The second is Kathy Hochul's advisor said, you're going to win. You've got at least a 5-point margin. Don't engage. So she didn't. She's neither foolish nor feeble, although you wouldn't know it from her basically non-existent campaign, extremely expensive non-existent campaign. And as her advisor said, that might have been embarrassing, but it was enough to see her one way or the other. I don't think Zeldin really did. So because of these weird maps, the result is even as Democratic turnout plunged, Republican turnout went up, Democrats still have supermajorities, it looks like, in both houses of the state legislature. They still control everything in Albany. In Congress, there were a number of significant losses, including Sean Patrick Maloney. Long Island is now entirely red, and that may end up being the margin that gives Republicans control of the House. So is that Cuomo's judges, as some people are arguing? Is that on Eric Adams for being a Republican light, as people on the left are arguing? Is this on people on the left who ran candidates who did not do very well in their own primaries, including against Sean Patrick Maloney? As other people are arguing, it's hard to untangle. But what's fascinating is we had primaries in June where farther left candidates running insurgent campaigns against mainstream Democrats like Hochul did not do very well. Attorney General Tish James chose not to run. Public advocate Jumaane Williams did run. He'd run very competitively against her for lieutenant governor 4 years earlier. He did not do well. He did not win a single electoral district. So now, after Hochul's closer than popularly anticipated win, you know, where people are holding their breath just for a minute, the left is trying to relitigate the general election and say we needed stronger candidates with more active beliefs and not Republicans led, and pointing at Adams, for instance, as an example of that, because he's also talked about public safety concerns. But if you just go back a few months before that to the primary, those appeals did not do very well. So I think it's a confused moment inside of New York where Democrats know they were embarrassed in this election cycle, know that they were not successful in getting their core voters to turn out, where Republicans were very engaged, and discovered they have enough of a margin within the state that whatever happens nationally, they're still in full control here. So as often happens when a party is just a little diminished electorally, it tends to become more radical as it loses moderate members. And as those appeals within the party, as opposed to within the broader state, get stronger. And so New York is not overwhelmingly liberal. It is overwhelmingly Democratic. And it continued to be after this embarrassment of an election for New York politicians.
Back to the mayor and his challenge. He's not only speaking of cuts that must be made immediately, but he's looking forward to the next year and the year after that and the year after that. And he describes a tsunami approaching New York, presuming that the city can stabilize for safety. Is that correct? Is that going to happen regardless of whether it's safe or not, Harry?
Yes. The city has really big out-year deficits coming. It had, when de Blasio left office, the largest workforce it had ever had. It increased spending at something like twice the rate of inflation. It was probably unsustainable. And now the downturn is here. It looks like it could be steep and difficult. Adams argues that the public safety is a prerequisite to everything else,
right?
I think is reasonable, but it's certainly not going to be, even if he succeeds magnificently on that front, sufficient to the challenges ahead and some of the very difficult spending decisions New York has not had to make in a long time, as we've had two plus decades in which the city has become continuously richer, and we've had gentrification concerns, and we're now looking at a period of much more difficult years looming ahead.
Harry Siegel of the New York Daily News, of the City, a journal. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.